I am not a human being. I am a God being. So I function from the realms of the spirit. I change my thinking. I change my speech. The word of God gives me the thoughts of God and the word to speak. I speak wisdom in every situation. The hidden wisdom of God designed for my glory. I am full of that glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, blessed be your name, Father. You are awesome, Father. You are beautiful, Father. You are glorious, Father. I am just like you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we worship you. Blessed be your name. As we continue in this place, open the eyes of our understanding to who we are in Christ. Show us the path of life that we may truly reflect your praises on earth. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we do pray. Hallelujah. I'm always happy to be in this assembly because the word of God is alive. And I'm happy to stay under a man of God that is hungry for God. I know that the sky is not my limit. Hallelujah. Praise God, somebody. Last Thursday, what did we study last Thursday? Can somebody remind us what you remember last Thursday? Do you remember the Bible verse? Hallelujah. We talked about Romans 12. And I also told you that the counterpart scripture is 1 Corinthians 12. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. They are siblings. Hallelujah, somebody. Romans 12, we learned that every man, every woman has what? A call of God. There is a call of God upon your life. It's not just on the pastor. It's not just on the prophet. Every person in the scheme of God has a call of God upon their life. There is nobody that is useless in the household of God. Just like there is nothing useless in your own body, there is nobody that is useless in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Number two, you did not call yourself. And pastor did not call you. Who called you? And he who has called you is what? He's faithful. He also will fulfill it in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you are called of God. You are not called by pastor. You are not called by Foursquare. You are called of God. And because God called you, he is duty bound to do something in your life so that you can fulfill your call. Somebody listening to me? And so we talked about gifting. Let me tell somebody you are gifted. Tell that person you are gifted. Please help me to ask that person, have you discovered your gift? Wait for the answer. Wait. Don't just... Apostle, have you discovered your gift? Have you discovered your gift, ma? What's the thing? It's a Bible study. Please speak. Well, our senior pastor has a lot of work to do. He will help us discover our gifts. Hallelujah. And the gifting came because of grace. Somebody say grace. Grace. It's not because of struggle. God did not call you to come and struggle. When he gave you a gift, when he designed you, he gave you a gifting. And he gave you a divine enablement to accomplish your purpose. Hallelujah, somebody. He didn't call you to come and serve him in your own ability. Brother Paul therefore said, think of yourself like what? Soberly. It's not your call. It's not your gift. It's not your grace. Everything comes from where? God. Praise God, somebody. Praise the Lord, somebody. And we also talked about that God has offices in the body of Christ, and that there are 8 offices. And these 8 offices are in 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 28. Hallelujah, somebody. Who can tell us some of these offices? Pastor? Yes, apostles. Number 2?
Teachers.
You have not read this thing again. Number 3? Now, I understand how pastor feels. Now, brethren, we must take this very seriously. Because when pastor gave me this thing to read, one thing that struck me is that a person can live life and not discover the will of God. And you will attend church all your life. And when you appear before Christ, he will not ask you how many houses you build. How much of my plan for your life did you accomplish? And that's very sobering. That's very sobering. A person can attend church and think he's serving church, because he begins to work for church. He begins to give money for church. And yet, he does not find that God has a plan for his life. And that's very sad. Bless your ears that are hearing these things. Blessed are your ears that are hearing these things. I pray that the Holy Spirit will quicken it and make you alive to pursue them. In Jesus' name. All right. Today, we are going to look at something that is practical and many of us like. How to find the will of God for your own life. What's the topic today? Say it again, please. Hallelujah, somebody. Finding the will of God for my life. Do you have your pen and the paper ready? Because we are going to look at scriptures and I'm going to move fast. Please open your Bible to Psalm 139. We've referred to this scripture before. Psalm number 139, verse 14 to 17. If you are there, please read for me. Psalm 139. Okay, if you are not there, I will read. Psalm 139. I start from verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, God has spiritual eyes. He said, your eyes saw my substance, yet I was not formed. Hallelujah. It's not a physical eye. And it's not a physical being. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. What an awesome word. He saw me. He saw me. 139. Okay. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, I want you to underline that. And in your book, God has a book concerning your life. And in your book, they all were written. What is it that was written there? The days fashioned for me. The kind of life you are to live. The person you are to marry. Where you are to walk. The ministry you will hold. Everything pertaining to your life has been written down. Where? In God's book. When as yet there were none of them. These scriptures are powerful. Brethren, when you go home, sit down and meditate. He said, even before you went to that school, sir, before you got that PhD, sir, before you became an accountant and an engineer, God already planned your life. He already gave you an assignment. He knew what you should be doing. Oh, I thought my going to school will help God. He said, no. It's not part of the equation. You go to school for your own. It's good to go to school. It's good to get a PhD. It's good to do all these things. But that's your natural call. And God can make things happen in your life. Whether you went to university or not. Whether you are born by the Dangote or not. Is somebody listening to me? He said, he who has called you is what? He is faithful. 1 Thessalonians where? 5. And he is the one that will fulfill it in your life. Hallelujah, somebody. That scripture also means that those who have been aborted, God has a plan for them. Urab Sakabaya. In the book, Yehuri, Igaba sad lake in the Yehuri. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for deliverance. Now, these are things you need to know so that when not in this place, when that abortion comes to your mind, you say, ah, God has a plan for this baby, there is no accident with God. Awesome. Every man, every woman has a will, a purpose in God's plan. Brother Paul said this way. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Galatians, please write down these scriptures. The first scripture is Psalm 139, 14 to 17. Look at how Brother Paul said it. Galatians 1:15. Please read it for me. When it pleased God. Brother Paul said, God separated him from where? I thought he met God on the way to Damascus. Abi? Isn't it true that he met God on the way to Damascus? But Brother Paul said, no. God already had a plan for me before the Damascus episode. When it pleased God, who separated me from where? From my mother's womb. The same thing in Jeremiah. So I've quoted Old Testament and New Testament for you. The same thing. What's the first thing we are saying? Every man, every woman has a divine will, a purpose in God. That's what we are saying. That's what we are saying. The babies that were aborted has a divine will. The baby, the child in a wheelchair who cannot walk has a divine will. Oh, Kasaya Balegin de Yewuri. That's why God has made you a Messiah on earth, to set them free into their purpose. He said, untie the donkey. Loose it to fulfill purpose. Hallelujah. The anointing for loosening is coming upon you right now. Just receive it. Because in this place, God is raising ministers. Anointed for a time like this. Anointed for his purpose. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I receive in the name of Jesus. Number two, the plans and the purposes of God, they are not discovered accidentally. Because some of you are saying, but God knows my address. If he wants me to be a prophet, he should put the anointing upon my life. Let me say to somebody, no, 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 no. Jeremiah 29. Let's go there. Let's go to Jeremiah 29. Verse 11 to 13. Write the scriptures down. So you go home, look at it, read it, meditate. Is somebody reading for us? I have a plan for your life. Who said that? God. It is a plan that is awesome. I want to give you a future and a hope. Look at what he says in the next verse. What must you do? What did I say before? I said the will and the purposes of God, they are not discovered accidentally. Read it again, man. Then you will... You will call upon me. You will go and pray to me. And I will listen to you. Oh. God said, I have a plan for your life. It's an awesome plan. But you won't find it accidentally. Because finding God's will is like swimming uphill. Swimming against the current, because the world system will oppose you. Oh, you think the will of God will just fall upon you because you come to church. You must determine to find it. How do you find the will of God?
You pray.
You pray. How do you find the will of God? You pray. You fellowship with him. How do you find the will of God, sir? You pray. You pray. It's important that you know these things. Very, very important. The will of God is revealed to those who are determined. Those who are purposeful. Those who say, I must know it. I must know it. It's too important for me not to know it. And the good thing. Let me tell somebody the good thing. That God is willing to reveal it to you. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. He said, you are my workmanship. Created how? In Christ Jesus. For what? Unto a good assignment that I have pre-planned for you to walk in them. So, if God hides the will from you, how can you be his hand? How can you be his eyes? How can you be his feet? How can you be his lips? So, number one, there is a will of God for every man. Number two, the will of God is not discovered by accident. You have to seek for it. Number three, God is willing to reveal it to you. Hallelujah, somebody. How are we doing so far? Are we doing well? Are we doing good? Hallelujah. I'm happy. Number four, you cannot know the will of God by your mental knowledge. You cannot. Why? Why is it that you cannot know the will of God by your mental knowledge? Because you are spiritual. Everything about you is spiritual. God himself is spiritual. You are spiritual. So it's not how you reason. It's not the schools you went to. It's not the people you discuss with. It's not. It's not. Man wants to analyze God. If men can know and analyze God, then they've brought God to their level. God is beyond mental assessment. It's beyond it. Mental evaluation. The plans and the purposes of God, they come out by revelation. Let me tell somebody. And that's what apostles discussed. The plan of God for your life will come out. Will come out. Do you know what revelation is? Because sometimes we say all these big words and people don't understand. Revelation is something that is open for you to see. There is a veil covering something. And somebody awesome takes the veil out. Ah, this thing is there. It's been there all the time. Revelation. The plans and the purposes of God come by revelation. They are discovered. They are to be discovered. And they are discovered by revelation. That's why he said, you must pray to me. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. John chapter 16, 13 to 14. It's interesting that prayer is one of the hardest spiritual exercises. You see how God does his things? Prayer is what? It's one of the difficult spiritual exercises. It requires your being disciplined. Oh, yes. Because while you are praying, your mind is in the market. Your flesh wants to move somewhere else. You have to discipline your senses to stay there. Stay there. Believe there. Believe there. Pray there. And the whole thing looks dry. Pray, pray, pray. They say, pray. Ah. It's difficult. But that's what you are called to do. It's what you are called to do. Prayer is one of the least light spiritual exercises. That's why I said, to discover God's will is like swimming against the current. Because the flesh, the world, will not want you to discover it. John 16, 13 to 14. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, when the Spirit of reality has come, he will guide you to how many truths? Are you sure that's what is in your Bible? I want you to take note of the word all. Underline it. Underline it. It's not some truths. Not some realities about your life, about your children, about your church, about your community, about your nation. He said this Spirit is called the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you. You see another use of the word there. He will not force you. What will he do? How do you guide somebody, man? You are in front, or you are speaking, is this way, or you are in front, and you say, "Are you following me?" He won't force you to follow him more. You will guide. Just mark the words in the scripture. The Spirit of God does not force anybody. That's why I say you must be purposeful. You must be determined. You must be committed. You must have a hunger. It will guide you to continue, ma'am. He will not speak on his own. Whatever he hears, where will he hear it? Whenever he has meeting in heaven, he said there are three that bears witness. Where? In heaven. And the Holy Spirit is one. The Word. The Spirit. Whatever he hears there in the meeting, he will reveal it to who? To you. To you. The Holy Spirit is the custodian and the revelator of everything that belongs to God and to Jesus Christ. And that includes God's plans, his purposes, his desires, everything. He said all things in every area of your life, in all things that God wants to do. Nothing goes without the Holy Spirit knows. And if you just engage him and pray, he will reveal and guide you into every truth. Praise the Lord, somebody. All truth. I said you should underline all truth. And that includes personal, corporate. The Bible says he will take what is mine. That's in the same verse 14. My plans, my purposes, what I have planned for your generation, your nation, your church, and he will reveal it. Hallelujah. So you begin to understand when the Holy Spirit came, the prophecy in Joel 2:28, what does it say? Joel 2:28. I will pour out my spirit upon how many? Are you sure? And what will happen? You begin to speak from your spirit, creating things. You prophesy. And you begin to dream dreams. Where do the dreams come from? From the womb of God. The visions of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sure for next year, God has put some dreams in your heart. Ora sakabayalanda. Igana makandoro yewuri. That same spirit that incubated on the unruly world of ages past will manifest your dreams in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Your dreams will not be dead on arrival. Amen. Your dream is receiving life now. In the name of Jesus, you will certainly manifest. I will manifest. I will manifest. Hallelujah. Galatians 1:16. It is impossible to fulfill the divine will until you meet with the Holy Spirit. As the next truth. We have said the Holy Spirit is the custodian and the revelator of all the things that belongs to God. He said he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So you cannot begin to fulfill God's plan and will for your life until you do what? You meet with the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. That means if you are not born again and you are listening to me, You cannot fulfill divine purpose. You can fulfill natural purpose, but not the divine purpose. Galatians 1:16. What does it say? When it pleased God to reveal his son in me. Continue, sir. That I might preach him. I did not need a conference with human beings. You know how long Paul stayed with God? Say he was in Arabia. What did you think he was doing there? Fellowship for like 2 years, 3 years. He was there. Nobody remembered him. He was in Arabia. God was giving him the revelation of grace. On that mountain is where the law was given. But God said, no. This time we are doing a new thing. We have set law aside. Let me give you the revelation of grace. And he begins to unveil the things to him. This is a man that is schooled in the law. He studied under the best lawyers. God said, that your knowledge is not useful. May I ask you this evening, all your gifting, all your knowledge, all the PhD, have you presented it to God? All your skill, natural skills. When it pleased God to reveal his son in me, Jesus is goodwill to man. John chapter 2 verse 14. Jesus is the divine will. When you want to see God, when you see Jesus, that's the end of it. QED. So if Christ is in you, Colossians 1:27. The mystery that was hidden for generations. The mystery, but is now revealed to his apostles and prophets. And that mystery is that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, somebody here has a glorious expectation about 2013 because Christ is in you. Not because the economy will be better. Probably won't be. But there is Christ in you. There is a divine law operating in your life that will subsume every natural opposition. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Karabashana Rayawuri. God set his law in your spirit. And that law is Christ in you. So every opposition, the day you discovered that you are not alone, that there is an anointed one with his anointing operating in you, because both to will and to do starts from where? From him. The day you discover that, every natural opposition will begin to give way. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Say, when it pleased God to reveal Christ in me, I did not need a conference. You know, Apostle Paul was doing all he could, killing Christians, learning Judaism. He said, I was very strong in Judaism. He was following the traditions of the elders. It was not God's purpose. The man who understands revelation, he said, I counted it all but dung. He understood that it made no meaning to God's purpose in his life. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. So, what do you need to do to find God's will? That's the question. You say, ah, Pastor, all this talk. Romans 12:1-2. Romans 12. Let's go back to our Romans 12. What we need to do? Romans 12. Who can recite it for us from the head? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to do what? To present what? A what? Okay. Holy and which is your, is not extraordinary, is the thing we expect you to do. Number two, do not be Bobby by the, don't think like the world. That those verses say, if you can present your body a living sacrifice, then something will begin to happen in your life, and you will begin to have desires that are different from this world's desires. The problem is that, have you ever heard of a living sacrifice? Have you ever heard of a living sacrifice? Abi, in the Old Testament, when they make the sacrifice is dead. Dead. But when it comes to the New Testament, he said, this time I want what? A living sacrifice. I said, Holy Spirit, how do we get a living sacrifice? You know, in the Old Testament, anyway, the animals don't have the Spirit of God. Even the men don't even have the Spirit of God. Okay? But in the New Testament, your body is the old wineskin. He said, your body is a body of sin. Who will deliver me from this body of sin? But your spirit has everything about God in it. Your spirit is alive for how long? Forever. So when he said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, what the Holy Spirit told me this afternoon is that you know you cannot die. You are a spirit man. But your spirit, your body can die. Your body must die. Not that it can die. It must die. Let me tell somebody, your body must die. Ah, he said, Pastor, I don't understand that. When he said, present your body as a living sacrifice, what he said is that, forget your personal agenda. Let me talk to somebody. Forget your personal agenda. Maybe you say, Pastor, does it that mean I should not go to school? Please, go to school. Go and learn the trade, please. But as far as God is concerned, doesn't matter to him. Let your agenda come under his own agenda. Forget your personal inclinations. Forget your agenda. When you offer it a sacrifice, the thing is gone up in smoke. You have forgotten about it. That's what he's saying. When you forget that, you begin to have a revelation of the mind of God for your life. But the question you should ask me is, Pastor, how do I die? If your body must die, how will that happen? Even ordinary fast, you cannot fast. Somebody is talking about dying. Fast for 2 days without food. How many people will do that this December? This December. 3 day fast in this church. So the question is, how do I die? If I must offer my body a living sacrifice, and my body must die, my agenda must die, how will that happen now? Every day I see my friend riding a new car. You want my agenda to die? I say, Holy Spirit, please help me now. These things are real, brother. They are real. They are real. Romans 8:13, what does it say? He said, we are not debtors again to the senses. We are not debtors. When he saved us and put his Holy Spirit in us, he didn't put the Spirit in us so that we can be using our mental ability again. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but by the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, in that he was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the form of flesh and for sin. That the righteous requirements, hallelujah, I love that place. That the righteous requirements, the law wanted to give us life, but our flesh was in the way. It's not now that the flesh has always been opposing us. Your flesh, your senses, the way you think, your perception of things naturally, they are on the way against you. But he now gave you the answer. Romans 8:13. Is somebody reading it? Romans 8:13. If you continue to live by the senses, you will do what? What does it mean? He's talking to Christians. What does it mean that you will die there? You will be cut off from the supply of the life that is from God. You will be cut off. It's not the moment you cut the tree that it dies. Die slowly. Die slowly. When you are absent from the life of God, you are dying. But continue. If by the Spirit put to death what? Let me preach to somebody. Put to death the deeds of the Spirit. Thou shouting on your wife, put it to death. Let me preach now. The shouting on your wife, put it to death. That fight with the neighbor, put it to death. That's what he's talking about. That lying, you do that in the corner so pastor cannot see you, put it to death. We know all these things because we are men of the same. Daddy, help me preach to her. Put it to death. How? By the Spirit. It's not by willpower. Help me say to somebody, it's not by willpower. Because willpower will fail you. I have seen it many times. You maintain, you keep strong for some time. When people are not there and the pressure is small now. Okay, pastor is coconut here. And I am in Rome. I'm doing conference. Put it to death. Put it to what? The more you die, the more you can prove the perfect will of God. He said, by the Spirit, put the deeds, the things that are opposing your progress, the things that does not make you to come into the plans and the will of God for your life, put it to death. How? By the Spirit. How? By praying in tongues. Let me tell somebody, pray in tongues. Please, you are not preaching like me. Say it again to that self. Wake him up. I say, pray in tongues. I want to hear you two times. Pray in tongues. You know, when you pray in tongues, you are already in the Spirit. You don't need any worship song. As soon as you start praying in tongues, you are already where? In the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. You leave the realms of the senses, the realms of the flesh. And the more you pray in tongues, The Bible said you are putting to death what? The deeds of the flesh. How does that translate in real life? The way it is in real life is that some things you used to like and desire, you just suddenly find that this thing is not as... Maybe you like some music, worship song. When you stay with the Holy Ghost for some hours, you just come and you listen to the same song. You begin to pick... there's something wrong with this worship song. It's not scriptural. And you don't like it again. And you don't know why. I find in my life, there are some churches I cannot go to. I will just be an innocent, angry bystander. I will be there and be looking. Yes, I cannot flow. Why? I have passed that level. Last Sunday at home, I stayed at home with the Holy Ghost. From like, God is helping me. Glory be to God. I stayed though. Rather than go and be suffering in one church. That's why I like this church. Tell somebody, that's why I like this church. That's why Pastor likes this church. It's bubbling with the Spirit. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Does Pastor need to tell you to be baptized in the Holy Ghost now? Does Pastor need to ginger you to pray in the Holy Ghost now? Do we need to be shouting and making? No. You should find every opportunity now to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because you know, as you are praying in that Holy Ghost, the will of God is being perpetuated in your spirit. The will of God is being driven into your spirit. So that you will have to face God to fail. To go outside the will of God. You have to fight him. Because he's already there in your spirit. You want to think flesh. Mm-mm. Your spirit is too strong. It's like I said last Thursday. The will of God is in your spirit. It's Christ in you. It's part of that incorruptible seed that is in you. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, what is happening? It's out of your bellies. John chapter 7 verse 38, 39. Out of your bellies shall flow what? Rivers of living water. And when water falls upon the seed, what begins to happen? The seed begins to germinate. First the ear, then the leaf, then the whole thing. And when the whole fruit is standing in your spirit, do you think you can miss God's purpose? I didn't hear clearly. Forget it. It's already a giant tree. Where? You cannot fail. Because all those desires that want to derail you, they will find level. Praise the Lord, somebody. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. There are some things that the Holy Spirit begins to show me in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I think it's verse 16, 17, 18. Let's go there. He said, but we all, you know, Moses started very well. When Moses needed helpers in the ministry, what did God tell him? What did God do? First of all, his father-in-law said, Moses, you will kill yourself. You are just walking and walking. Let other people help you. What did God say? He said, yes, I will take what? Are you sure it's the spirit? It's not his mental knowledge. It's his spirit. Are you sure? You have a revelation there. God did not take of the intelligence of Moses and put it on the 70. What did he take? The spirit, the anointing. He put it on them. And when Joshua complained that some people that did not come to the prayer meeting, that were in the camp, they were prophesying too. What did Moses say? He said,
What's your business? That's how God wants it. Why are you being worrying for me? But when Moses came down from the mountain of God, and his face was full of glory, what did he do? He put a veil so that the children of Israel cannot steadily behold that glory. You see, my spirit tells me that that glory was not for Moses alone. That glory is supposed to rub on the others who look at his face so that they can do the will of God easily. Why do you think they call the Israelites stiff-necked people? Say these people are stiff-necked. It means that you cannot turn their neck. You look this way now. He said, no. Now here God said, they are too focused on love, doing it by themselves. Stiff-necked. But he said something there. He said, we all. He said, now the Lord is the Spirit. And we all, with what? Unveiled faces. Because now we understand. Moses did not understand. Moses did not understand. We understand that the glory is what is important. We understand that the glory must come out from inside of us. Because the glory is already inside of us. Hallelujah. Romans 8:18, what does it say? There is a glory already in us. John 17, verse 22 says something. He said, I have given them the glory. John 17, verse 22, I think. I have given them the, Father, I have given them their glory. I have given them. If you are born again, the glory is already in you. In Romans 8:18, let's read that one. The glory is not going to be revealed to you. The glory is already in you. I reckon. The suffering of the present time, they are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory has to be revealed in us. The Bible says, arise and do what? Arise and do what? He said, darkness will be where? And gross darkness on the people. But the glory of God will arise upon you. And what will happen? Gentiles will begin to come to your light. It means that the glory of God is the dispeller of every darkness. Hallelujah, somebody. When you let the glory shine, every darkness, every rule, every law, every natural law, contrary to the will of God for your life, will begin to give way. And you will begin to step into your position in God. And when you begin to see it, men will see you as a testimony. I say, men will see me a testimony. And they will come to me. And they will say, how are you doing these things? He said, kings. Kings will come. Not just Gentiles. Gentiles are too small. In my own case, kings must come to the brightness of my rising. Because I'm too much for the rulers of this earth. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, what an anointing I'm feeling now. I feel like preaching for the next 1 hour. Hallelujah. Ah. That is what it is. That is what is this, brethren. As far as God is concerned, no flesh can glory in his presence. Don't you understand? It's not about who you are, what you can do, your connection. He does not allow that. It must be grace and the glory. And the Bible tells me in Psalm 84 that God will supply grace and glory. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. But I want you to know tonight, as I'm running up, that this is a continuous process.
I want you to tell somebody, you must continue to pray in tongues. Because as you do that, the layers of darkness, of flesh, they will begin to be removed on their own accord. Why? Because that glory is getting stronger in you. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. And when that glory begins to work, then you can understand Romans 8:28. What does it say? He said, and we know. And we know that all things work together. How? How many things? Are you sure? Are you sure? When you begin to pray in tongues and you continue in it, what must happen? The glory is shining. The glory, say, arise and shine. The glory is coming out and dispelling every darkness. And then, all things begins to work together. Why? For your good. Because what? You love God and you are called according to his purpose. You see, when you pray in tongues, the flesh must give way. The senses must give way. The love of God is birthed in your spirit. The purposes of God is birthed in your spirit. And then the Holy Spirit can make all things to work together for your life. Hallelujah, somebody. But let me warn you, brethren. Let me warn you, brethren. Just like Paul did. He said, I say to, by the grace given me to all of you in Winning Faith Assembly, don't think of yourself. How? More highly than you ought. Don't. Because, and that's the problem of anointed teachers who are not continuing to pray in tongues. Because once they do the thing and it's working, they think they don't need God again. They think so. And what happens? They begin to stumble. Jude 19. Let's look at Jude 19 as I round up. Jude 19. He said, these are the ones who have not the Spirit. They have put the Spirit aside. They have put the anointing aside. They have put fellowship with the Spirit of grace aside. They are now doing programs. They are now doing the things that bring in the crowd, bring in the money. Please read it for me. 19, then 20.
These be they who separate themselves sexually, having not the Spirit.
Yes, they have not the Spirit. But look at how he said verse 20. But you. But you. Help me say it to somebody. But you. But you. What should you do? Build up your praying well. And now unto him who is able to keep you from doing what? From stumbling. From derailing. To him that is able to keep you from being too full of yourself. To him that is able to keep you from following God's plan to the end. To him that is able to keep you sane and sober. Keeps you from stumbling. To him be glory. And present you blameless. I like the word blameless. Everywhere I see the word blameless, I like it. There is one in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. He said we are blameless. Blameless does not mean that you don't commit some errors. But the man who is to judge the error, say you are blameless. Ah, you have a powerful godfather. No, my daughter is blameless. Hallelujah. My daughter is blameless. I am blameless. I am blameless. Brethren, let me round up. I don't think I can continue. But let me say this. Start by serving where you are. Please help me preach again. Start by serving where you are. Say, I don't know God's will for my life. Just start by serving in this assembly. Help me preach it again. Are you serving God in this assembly? That is important, brethren. Are you serving God? You want to follow God's plan. And you think you will discover it in one day. And you will jump into it. You cannot become a prophet in one day. Neither can you become an anointed teacher like our senior pastor in one day. You have to start somewhere. That's why tonight I say, start, are you serving God? God will do some fine-tuning in your life. Brother Paul started how? As a teacher. He started as a teacher. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, what did the Bible say? He said, separate to me. Paul and who? For the work that I have called them for. But the man was teaching for 2 years in Antioch. They went to get him. He was teaching. No. God fine-tuned him and put him squarely. And from that time onwards, the apostolic anointing came upon him. There's an anointing coming upon you now. In the name of Jesus. The grace to fulfill your ministry. In the name of Jesus. The grace to showcase you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Shall we be on our feet? We shall continue another day. There is a